Welcome back to Redefine Fitness. My name is Kelsey Wells, your host, your friend, your bestie, and I am with one of my besties right now, literally in the flesh. Guys, today's conversation is with none other than the Crispy. Now, if you have followed me for a while, you probably are familiar with her because we have been friends through the years and kind of shared pieces of that. If you're not familiar with her, you need to do some research because this woman is absolutely incredible, exceptionally inspiring, and such an empowered human. And I am just so stoked that you're here. Thank you, dude, for joining me today.
I'm happy to be here.
Should we begin? Well, actually, I'm going to make you begin like I make all my guests. Share with us a little bit about you. You can talk about your career. You can talk about personal things. Just give us, like, if someone's not familiar with you, give us a little rundown. Who is Crispy?
Good question. I started my YouTube channel over 10 years ago, and I've always loved doing makeup and transformations. I eventually got into vlogging a little bit and vlogged a lot about my health journey, my body image, and really connected with my followers on that basis. It's been a wild ride.
Okay, that was the most humble answer ever, which I would expect nothing less from you. But when she said she started her YouTube, like, guys, this is one of the OG YouTubers, especially for the makeup scene. I mean, how many subscribers do you have on YouTube?
I don't know, actually. I think 1.5,
something. I mean, she's been sharing content that has been so inspiring and motivating and, like, out of the box thinking. I mean, she has some absolutely iconic looks that I'm sure you've seen on the Pinterest webs out there. But let's get into how we met, shall we? I think some of the questions I did peek before, and some people were asking how we know each other. So basically, I was a huge Crispy fan. I had been following her since I had social media. She was one of my favorite creators. And I had, like, a life goal. I don't know if I ever told you this. Like, I would always think about what if you did my makeup one day, which I did actually rope her into making come true for me one time. even though she's truly a makeup creator. Like, it's been years since you've, like, taken clients. You're not one of the makeup artists on socials who is doing clients and sharing that. You are truly creating looks, and it's like she's an artist and makeup is one of her mediums, which she also paints. So let's not forget that. But I remember back in the day, like, just looking at your stuff and being like, man, I would just die for her to do my makeup one day. Because it just, to me, seemed like something I could never do makeup like that. Anyway, I did make that come true. But basically, I followed her. I was a fan. And my husband and I, Ryan and I, were heading to LA. God, what year was it when we met? Do you remember? 2017?
I'm not sure. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, because Sweat had launched and I was doing my workout programs. So it must have been 2017 or maybe. You know what? It was January 2018.
Oh, was it? Was it?
Because it was in January, because it was when I got my first tattoo. Yeah, I think it was January 2018 because Power had launched. Yes. So anyway, we're going to LA.
I think it was before Power launched.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Was it January 2017?
I think it was earlier than that. Because like, we were, like, more talking on a regular basis before Power launched.
You're right.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so wild. What a journey, dude. So we're in LA, and it was meant to be, like, a little kind of late anniversary getaway. But I told Ryan, I was like, listen, babe, one of my favorite creators lives in LA, and I don't know what the odds are of her ever seeing this, but I'm going to send her a DM, and I promise it's you and me time unless she messages me back and agrees to meet for coffee. Then I got to go. And he was super cute and supportive. And sure enough, I slid into her DMs and I was like, girl, I'm such a fan. I happen to be in Beverly Hills right now. I don't know if you live near here, but I would absolutely love to meet you for coffee. I just truly wanted to be your friend, dude. And sure enough, you got back to me. And I was, like, geeking out. I was so excited. He like, walked me over and dropped me off at the little cafe and made sure that you came. And we ended up talking for, like, 2.5 hours at this cafe.
Yeah.
About so much.
Yeah.
It was one of those times where you meet someone and everything just clicks. Like, I felt just safe and seen, and it was so cool. It was such a pleasant surprise because you never know, you know, people you look up to, how they're going to be, and And you just were the most humble, down-to-earth, rad human.
Yeah, I remember I was like, hell yeah, like, let's go. And then when I met up with you, it was like talking with like an old friend.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's so cool. So we hung out at the cafe and then we kept in touch. And every time I'd come back to LA for work, we'd hang out. So some of those times we would train. Some of those times we'd just get dinner or coffee or whatever. And then in between, just lots of phone calls. And we just hit it off right away and became actual real friends, you know, in real life. So a couple of those times were shared on socials and some weren't. And it's just been an amazing journey to watch how much we've how much we have both grown in the last, what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
What am I missing? What did I leave out?
No, nothing. I feel like when I met you was when I was super focused on
fitness.
Yes. I was really getting into it. I was really trying hard to lose weight. And you've always guided me towards, like, it's not about the external. Like, you've said that since day one. I remember, like, going out to you. I was, like, so obsessed with food at the time. I was, like, weighing myself every morning. And I remember, like, you know, you had always, like, tried to show me the way. I just, like, wasn't there yet with food.
I remember that. And you would ask me for advice. And I would answer you honestly. You're, like, I think at one point I did your macros for you.
Yeah.
And, like, there were different – and I was always, you know, I remember having the conversations. I'm, like, I will help you calculate your macros and do this, but – remember, you know, your mental relationship with food is what's most important. So only do this if it's not triggering, and only remember that this can be a tool for X, Y, and Z, but it's not the point, you know. And I would try, but also, like, I get it because I've been in it too. You know, we all are on our journeys, but I really appreciated that she, like, looked up, like, you came to me as a fitness professional, which I am, and you trusted my advice, but also that you heard that that wasn't, like, my forefront thing. Like, I was never trying to push anything on you or
I don't know.
I hope I was supportive in your goals, but also, like, reminding you of what mattered subtly or not so subtly.
No, yeah, I feel like you have like the technical skills and, like, the expertise, and then you were guiding me about, you know, like, hey, it's really about your relationship with yourself. Like, your relationship with food and exercise is a reflection of your relationship with yourself. And I would hear it and it would stick out to me, and I wanted to, like, adopt it, but I just wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
And then also for the audience who's listening, just a little bit of context, so you guys know, I have been on either, like, the binge or restrict cycle my entire adult life. And my weight has, like, gone up and down too.
Until now.
Until now, yeah. I've been around 160 pounds. I've been up over, well, actually, my highest I was almost 250 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. And so through these past couple months, I've taken some time off social media. I've done a lot of inner work. And for the first time in my life, like, I actually have freedom and inner freedom and freedom with food. And I'm actually, like, really healthy inside out. And so it's, like, just such a trip to be in this place of freedom and be like, wow, like, you don't have to be on a diet for the rest of your life to be healthy.
Wow.
Yeah.
It makes me emotional. I mean, so for context, we haven't seen each other in a while. I think the last time we got together, I was here in LA filming for my Redefine Fitness Strength and Mindfulness program. And I told Chris, I'm like, dude, I'm in LA for like 8 days, but those were the longest days of my life. I mean, I was on set about 10 hours a day filming 3 to 5 workouts full out each day, just overworking and just beyond mental, emotional, physical, just raw. And so I asked Crispy, I'm like, I have no time to even, like, breathe or think, but on my last night, like, I'm wrapping on my last day and I just want to do dinner. Like, I only want to see you. And we went to dinner and I remember telling you all about what I had gone through. I mean, that was such a transformational week for me, for my own mental, emotional, and spiritual and physical fitness. And we sat at this dinner for ever, like, all night. It was such good Italian food, by the way. Where was that? Do you remember?
Italy.
Italy. Ah, yeah. It was very good pasta. And basically, Crispy held space for me while I just fell apart at this restaurant. And then, like, had this aha moment and put myself back together, and I had huge clarity surrounding something that I had been contemplating for a very long time, and it was amazing. And at the same time, Crispy had been through so much, as well. I mean, I think we were getting together. We hadn't seen each other for like a year because the pandemic and stuff. And then this was, I'm trying to think, what year was this? November 2021. Yeah, November 2021. Mm-hmm. And right after this, so I was going home to Utah after filming. And then 3 days later, we were leaving on a family vacation to for New Year's, or for over Thanksgiving with my boys. And the reason I'm telling you guys this is because that was just one moment that Crispy like impacted me hugely, because it was about that time that she had decided to take a break from socials, which when I say take a break from socials, she didn't get on her story and be like, hey, you guys, I need a little break from Instagram. So I'll see you in 48 hours and I'm still going to tag, you know, post things. And no, like she fully shut it. Like you deleted the app off your phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you freed yourself. You were like, I'm taking a break. I know I need to take a break. And you were off. And as a content creator, like that's your livelihood. That's your job. That's, I mean, your social circles. I mean, Crispy is at the top of her industry as a content creator in the makeup world, and had so many big deals, and you just knew it was best for you to take an actual break. And that was right for your mental and emotional and physical well-being. And you did. And I just remember being so mind blown and amazed. I'd never met anyone who really just did that and honored that knowing on that level. And I couldn't do the same, you know, but I needed a break for sure. And I was going into this vacation, and I remember saying to you kind of like, you were like, just try it, Kels. Like, just, I know you can't delete it, but maybe like give yourself a week or something. I'm like, well, I'm going on this vacation. And you're like, perfect. And I was like, well, vacation content does so well. And it's just easy because I can just film a workout on the beach or whatever. And you looked at me and you're like, do you really feel like that's the right thing to do? And I was like, no. And that was the first vacation that I had taken in, God, probably like 5 years at that point, where I actually was present. And I wasn't trying to work at the same time. I actually allowed myself to rest. I wasn't working out. I wasn't creating any content. I wasn't on my phone going through DMs. I literally took a break. And it changed. I mean, I allowed myself to do that, and I needed it so badly. But I also realized in that moment how many vacations and like special memories I had essentially lost because I worked right through them, or I prioritized social media over being more present with my family. And it was a huge lesson for me and a huge gift. And that was something that I'll always keep. But so I'm a big advocate of that. But do you want to share about like why you took a break, or what was your catalyst? And then let's talk about how long that break actually ended up being.
Yeah. Actually, when you were talking about this, I heard something on a podcast recently. Someone said that in order to have a good work ethic, you have to have a good rest ethic. And part of my reasoning behind taking a step back from social media was that I realized, like, even when I wasn't working, that I was always stressed by the pressure of like, yes, you should be posting. Mm-hmm. So I never had any healthy rest, like mentally.
Yeah.
So that was part of the reason. And then also there's a YouTube video on my channel that goes more in depth into this, but I had this like life altering event that just changed my perspective, and it really shook me to the core. Like, what are you doing on this planet?
When did that happen? What month was that? Because that was right after we caught up, right?
Yeah, it was June.
Right before we caught up. Yeah. You shared with me that night. Yeah.
June of 2021. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so I think I took about a year.
Do you remember the day by chance?
June 21st.
Wow, okay.
2021. Because I remember you told me that you were on a trip. Was it Joshua Tree? And mm-hmm. then you ended up meditating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wild.
Sorry, clicked my tongue on the audio.
They're used to everything.
So I decided to take a break, and just really what it was I was so shook.
No, really though.
But I was like, what does my soul want? And then, you know, the first thing was like, you need to rest. And I realized the difference between healthy rest and putting my phone away, but still feeling like the pressure and judgment mm-hmm. against myself. So when I did, I just felt immediately lighter. And then not soon after that, I reached this moment of like full gratitude, like full appreciation for my life. And it came sort of out of nowhere. I was just cleaning the house and listening to music.
Oh, I love this.
But I had such a transformative experience with music. The same songs that were on my playlist for all these years that I had just been taking for granted.
Wow.
But for some reason today, I was listening fully present. And then I realized that I was taking everything in my life for granted.
Wow.
And so that was a huge shift. Like that day, I'll never forget it. It was like nothing in my life had to change. Like I could love myself completely. I was experiencing the fullness of life. And after that, nothing ever went back to being the same.
Wow.
That I could love myself when everything was a mess. And I, you know, none
that
of
that you're worthy of it.
Hmm?
And that you're worthy of it.
Oh, yeah. Because I wasn't identified with myself as, you know, someone who has a career, someone who's in shape, someone who's not in shape, like someone who's single, someone who's in a relationship. I was identified with a deeper part of myself that's just awareness or existence. And so all of like these other passing phenomena, that's all that I recognized them as. And I was able to just appreciate them instead of always having an attachment on trying to control who I was, the way I was perceived, and, you know, the way I move in the world, I guess. Like, I just released control and just started moving, you know, dancing the dance, moving with the harmony of the universe.
It's so beautiful. And I know it sounds maybe a little weird, but I noticed that evening. I think we both noticed. I mean, we met up and we just hugged, and it was like the energy was so beautiful. I could feel a change within you. And it was like we were both so different standing there than we had been the year prior.
Yeah.
Markedly. Like tangibly.
Yeah, it was so weird because I was like, we had both gone through this transformation and didn't know it.
No,
until
yeah.
we met up.
And we could just feel. And I remember you telling me that you were a little bit nervous for me to see that. Like you felt like, you'd changed so much since we caught up in person, and what if we weren't vibing the same way or whatever, or what if I didn't fully see it? And it's not like everyone in your life will see it, but I remember feeling the same, like, what if she thinks I'm weird now, or like woo-woo or whatever. And it was just, we had the same like a little reservation, and then we just looked at each other and we just started laughing. I felt like we just knew. We're like, what?
Yeah.
It does. And we were thriving, absolutely thriving. Better than ever. Something you said, though, really stuck out. I think there's two. I think if I'm listening right now, I'd want to ask you the question. Because lots of people have transformational moments or little life quakes or big life quakes where the bottom falls out or everything shifts in an instant, whether that's inside of you or whether that's a literal, tangible thing that happens in your life. And sometimes, or, you know, an overwhelming moment of that pure gratitude. But then sometimes it's easy to just fall back into the old pattern of who and how you were. What do you think it was that allowed you to choose to take action to truly make a change and honor that? Like, you honored those transformational moments. You didn't just revert to being and doing the same habits and slipping into exactly who you were the day before. It was like, because does that make sense? Like, lots of people experience these powerful moments, but then nothing changes. So what, you know, like, why do you think that you were able to, or what did you do to really, like, I mean, it's clear you honored those and you changed things, but tell us a little bit about.
Well, I tried to deny my experience, and this, I just felt different. It was hard to explain. And I tried to deny it. I was like, this, you need to do really well in your career. You need to get snatched. You need to make money and everything's going to be okay. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And it was like, when I was trying to go back to life, I was having intense anxiety. I was having panic attacks. I was freaking the fuck out. And then, so instead of just pushing everything down, I stopped and I realized, like, this is my body's way of communicating to me that something needs to change. So it was literally like life was making it very difficult for me to continue on that path. And so, yeah, it basically forced me to stop, slow down, and start listening. Like, what is my soul trying to tell me?
And that's when that transformational music moment came.
Mm-hmm. Well, before that, I had started looking up near-death experience videos on YouTube and started to just look up information about the soul and the ego. And it's like, I had been just so like wrapped up in my stories, my daily yeah. life, that I'd never really stopped to think about that stuff, to be honest. Yeah. So it was like, I was just looking for answers, to be honest. And then I had this moment and it just totally shifted the direction of my life.
Wow. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, I became obsessed with learning about consciousness, like everything I could learn about it.
And you know, I've been there too.
Yeah. I look back on it. I still am. Like, that's still like the number yeah. one most interesting thing. But I'm like, you, I was really heavy in like the research stage.
Yeah.
And I was like
figuring out which pieces and which teachers and which messages resonated with your truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important that we all remember that we have the discernment within ourselves, and we have our answers and we have our truth. And whether you want to call that, you know, whether it's a certain religion that you worship in or whatever ties or paths you hold to the universe, God, source power, whatever you call it, and your true self, which for some is one and the same, that is your spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
That is your soul. That is your ultimate well-being. And as someone who's been such a close friend and had been able to witness this transformation within you, it's pretty incredible to see that you, I mean, guys, Crispy was the ultimate boss bitch. She still is, but like on paper to the world, you had it all. You were super successful financially. You were super successful in your industry. You were living the life, the high life, had everything going for you. You were focused on prioritizing your health and your well-being. But it wasn't until this happened that you, is it fair to say that that was the, after this experience, it was the first time in your life where you prioritized your spiritual and emotional, mental well-being before your physical?
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought before that acquisition of status and money and the way I looked, like I thought that was going to make me happy. And I always had this idea, like, become successful, be an achiever, and then you can, when there's some leftover time, then you can work on yourself. And it was like I was just, as they say, like a hungry ghost, like keep trying to fill that hole, and nothing was really fulfilling. And so, yeah, this was exactly like what you said. It was the first time when I stopped and started to focus on my inner connection.
And then what happened?
Oh, man.
When you started, I know. When you shifted that priority, like.
So it was the most, I mean, this, since then, it's like life has just never, it's always like evolving in the mm-hmm. most beautiful, amazing ways. That's how I feel like it's been the most beautiful, exciting, scary time of my life. Like, it's everything. And yeah, I feel like I just keep growing and changing as a person. Like, I get geeked out on like a tree or like a sunset, and I'm like, what?
Like, it's amazing.
Like, I like fall in love every single day with like a song or a moment, or just without having to like cling to it. And I just feel so thankful, honestly, for every single part of my path that led me here.
Same, girl. I'm so, so amazed and so proud of you. And just, it's wild though. I mean, it is how it happens. I, you know, for a long time, the podcast, as the listeners know, is the only place where I've ever spoken about my faith transition, which wasn't a transition at all. It was literally like a loss of identity and a big fail life quake of my own, mm-hmm. In one big fail swoop. And for a while after that, I needed and tried to ignore and push down like spiritual health or well-being. I was like, nah, there's like physical, mental, and emotional. That's it. And I felt like I had so much confusion and hurt and anger and fear and trauma surrounding spirituality and religion and myself and who or what I was, who or what my soul was. And I just thought that I could, that wasn't a necessary piece, which is so funny to me now because it's actually the only piece. But isn't it amazing how both of us through the last years on a very similar time pattern essentially returned home to honoring that first. And when you prioritize that, your mental, emotional, and physical health, it falls into line so much easier and so much gentler. And there doesn't need to be this resistance and this rigorous pressure and that we had both been putting on ourselves in different ways for a very long time.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It was like once I stopped pushing and having resistance, started allowing, it was like everything transformed. Like my entire life bloomed. All my relationships evolved. And it's interesting, people in my life, like you, who I didn't realize that I even had this potential for connection with, or such a deep connection, was there all along. And that happened with so many of my friends because my lens then shifted. And once I recognized myself as a soul.
You were on a different frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool.
So cool. So you mentioned that you, if you guys are more curious about what her experience was, she did after. So how long were you off social media until you shared that experience?
I think it was almost a year.
Okay. So she took a year off, which again, I can't stress how massive that is. I mean, every aspect of your life changed with that change. And after about a year, you felt ready to share and kind of like, I remember you feeling called to share about that with your communities on socials. And you can find that video on her YouTube. We'll link it in the description box of this podcast. You can easily click into it. And you can listen to her full story there. And then what happened after that? Because you actually decided that you weren't ready to come back. You were ready to share that and you felt like you needed to share that. But I remember talking to you like after I saw it, I called you straight away. I mean, I still like get chills thinking about it. And I was like, does this mean that you're back on socials? And you're like, I don't know. I don't know. And it didn't, which I think is equally as amazing. So talk about like that, the aftermath. First of all, talk about how that was received. Because remember, obviously there was a lot of trepidation into sharing such a authentic and raw and vulnerable piece of yourself. So talk about how that was received, what that was like to get the courage to share that. And then talk about the aftermath.
So that video was, in my heart, that's the most important video I've ever made. It's the most personal. And I was terrified. I filmed it and refilmed it probably 5 or 6 times. I finally had a version that I thought was ready. Mm-hmm. So I brought it to my brother and one of my friends who's a cinematographer. And I had them review it and it got shitted on.
Really? Oh, you did tell me that.
And I was crushed because I was like, this is my whole heart in a video. And they're telling me, I was like, everyone's going to think you're a weirdo. It sucks. So that, I feel like that experience was like, I was dancing around truths and I was kind of leaving it to like be filled or leaving spots to fill in the blank. So I went back and I was like, listen, you have to actually like speak your truth. Like say what you need to say.
Yes.
And yeah. I did that. And the reception to the video was amazing. I've never felt more connected with my viewers. And I felt so free because like when you just speak your truth, you don't have anything to hide. So it was amazing. And at that time, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was coming back to social media for a little bit, but then it was time to do more inner work. So I took a step back. And I'm planning to come back to social media soon. I've been working on my writing. I've been working on my painting. Yes. I'm oil painting. I posted one of my portraits.
It's unreal. She doesn't paint like abstract like me. Like this girl is a painter.
Thank you. It's my masterpiece. I've been working on it for. It's I finally finished it.
Did you finish it?
The teacher took the palette out of my hand and was like, it's done because I kept going to teach it.
Crispy.
So that one's finally signed and finished.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm working on that, my writing, my spiritual practice. I'm actually going to be featured in Meditation Magazine, their upcoming issue.
Girl.
Yeah, the spiritual awakening
you
issue.
You didn't tell me that.
I know. Crazy,
I'm so proud of you.
It should be. Well, I looked online. It should be, and they carry it in Barnes & Noble and Whole Foods, so it should be coming in the next few weeks.
Oh, my God. I am so stoked. I can't wait to read it.
And then, yeah, so I'll be back. Oh, and working with my writing, I think, did I already say that like 3 times? But yeah, then coming back to social and just having fun.
Yes. Will there be more makeup content? I'm sure everyone's wondering.
Dude, I love makeup and I'll always love makeup. So yes,
Will you ever do Kelsey's makeup again? Everyone's wondering.
We should do that for a video.
Yeah, like a YouTube video.
Yes.
I will. Yes. Yes.
I remember.
I am so down.
Yeah. I did your makeup for the, was it Taylor
Swift? It was a Taylor Swift concert, 100%. I'm like, Crispy, I told her, I was like, first of all, I just wish you could come back and do my makeup on my wedding day. But since that day is in the past, the second most important day of my life has arrived. I'm going to the Taylor Swift concert.
Well, it's funny because I'm like, I don't freelance. I don't know if I'm going to be that good anymore. And you're like, this is the best anyone's ever done my makeup. I was like, okay.
No, I felt like my most beautiful self. I mean, oh, I tried to make it last for like 3 days. And then I finally was committed to learning how to do my eyeliner, guys. Mm. The sharp black eyeliner that I finally was able to master, it was all thanks to Crispy. And I remember sending you videos on date nights and be like, look at what I did. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I live for wing liner. And I love like technique. Like I love the artistry. Oh. That's like my favorite part.
And she is an artist. Let's totally do. I'm down. I'm committed.
Yeah, me too. Let's do it.
It has been spoken. Now we're going to be held to it.
We're committed.
So YouTube sequel coming soon.
Yeah.
In Crispy's world. Okay, I'm down. Man, I'm just so proud of you. Truly. And that's the thing. I think just to touch back on your physical fitness journey. You shared, so we were talking right before we started recording. We were down at the cafe just having some lunch. And share a little bit about, like, in a nutshell, what you were talking with me down there about how, you know, for so long our conversations, a point of our conversation was just like helping you reach certain goals. And then here you are today and you've just literally reached all the goals that you wanted to before without, and I know we talked about like it wasn't resistance, it just kind of has been flowing. But share a little bit about what you were sharing with me down there.
So recently, like, well, it's, I don't know how long it's been, but I've lost over 65 pounds and I have not been dieting. I don't restrict food.
Sorry, can you see those 2 points again?
I do not diet.
Boom. And I do not restrict foods.
Oh, yeah. I do not restrict foods.
I told you. I know. Possible.
I didn't think it was possible for me because, like I mentioned earlier, I've always been on some sort of diet. I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe I'm going to be on a diet for the rest of my life. Basically, I've been doing it. It all stemmed from A, that moment of radical acceptance, being like, I fully accept myself exactly as I am. If I'm almost 200, I think I was probably, yeah, almost 250 pounds. I was like, if I never lose a pound, it will never, ever, I could completely love myself the way that I am. And then doing a lot of healing and trauma work, reconnecting with my body, and learning to self-regulate and sit with uncomfortable emotions, because I had been so used to, it's a survival instinct to avoid suffering. Mm. And whenever I was uncomfortable, I wanted to just check out of whatever I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And food was one of those things for me that I self-medicated with. So coming home to the self, learning that I can be with uncomfortable emotions completely healed my relationship with food. And I have not been binging. And it's so weird because it sounds counterintuitive to not restrict foods when you're trying to lose weight. And everyone's relationship is so unique with food.
Yeah.
But for me, when I over-restrict, I starve myself, I swing in the opposite direction, I binge. And in the long term, I'm gaining weight. So now it was a total shift to be like, if you want something, have it. Mm-hmm. Because luckily, through all the years of trying to be healthy, I did learn a lot about nutrition. So it's like when I was eating quote unquote regular, mm-hmm. I'm eating healthy. I'm eating fruits and vegetables and protein. Yeah. But the problem was I was never in that middle ground. I was in either of the extremes. So now I'm in the middle ground. If I want something, I have it. Like in the beginning of my weight loss journey, I feel like I was having like a donut, like several nights a week. But I wasn't judging myself. I was like, do it, because now I have an infinite goal versus like a finite goal. Because before I was always like, I need to lose 20 pounds, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
Because why did you feel like you had to lose 20 pounds?
Oh, because I was identified with my value was attached to my weight.
And you felt like if and when you lost X amount of pounds, then you would feel confident. Then you would feel good in your body. Then you'd be worthy of whatever.
Exactly.
And when you learned truly to your core that that's not it, that's not how it works, that your body in whatever shape and size, as it fluctuates throughout your life, is always worthy, always sexy, always beautiful. And when that healed and clicked,
then yeah, the form, the physical form followed. It's like I'm human, so I do enjoy,
of course,
seeing my clothes fit better, and I like getting stronger. But I'm just not attached to it in the same way, and I feel like that's what's
your worth is not attached to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that is it. That is something that I've learned, I feel like, a few times over.
Yeah.
As you know, and you know, Crispy, like, obviously, you know, you're not alone in this, but I can't count the thousands, tens of thousands of messages and women that I've communicated with, whether on socials or emails or through training, my programs. So many of us struggle with that same thing. And whatever our goals are, even women who are wanting to get bigger or like more, you know, stronger, it's like, no matter what, this is why I always say physical goals can be fun and motivating and they can be great and healthy. But if your mental relationship and your motive is not in the right place, it will never be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that does truly trump and dictate if our exercise and eating outputs are healthy or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my industry gets it so backwards as a whole. And so thank you for helping me reiterate that yet again.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm reading the book Radical Acceptance, so it keeps coming up. And I think that there's like a misconception that acceptance means like being complacent and being passive. But
no.
Yeah, for me, it's done nothing but empower me that if I can accept myself this way, then I can transform.
There's nothing you can't do.
Yeah.
And you have the right. You're meant to grow and change and fluctuate. We all are.
I feel like, too, the healing journey and doing like somatic healing helped me in reconnecting with my body has helped me a lot too, because I'm better at reading hunger cues. I know when I'm full.
Mm.
Overeating doesn't do it like it used to do it for me anymore. And one of the results of trauma is that you cut yourself off from your body to survive.
Yes.
So it was like rewiring my brain through meditation and lots of mindfulness work. But I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with, is being terrified of being with ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's hard because that fear stems from a lot of self-shame that we've piled on through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously never the answer and never productive. You know, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're struggling with, you are worthy right now.
Mm-hmm.
You are whole right now. And there's always healing. There's always help.
Yeah, I really look at it as like, my body is just, I'm here to take the soul's curriculum. My body is my vehicle to get me through this life, and it's a gift. Why would I be punishing it, you know, starving it, trying to make it look this way, like, for what?
Hating it, ignoring it, even.
Yeah. It sounds cliche, but it's really true. You know, like, this is my gift to get me through this life, and I'm lucky that I'm able to work out, that I have my health, and I was just taking that all for granted because I wanted to look a certain way or for the scale to say something.
And that would have never yielded the what you were seeking in the first place.
Exactly. And I don't have a goal weight now.
Yes. Look at us.
Just keep being healthy.
Hell yeah. Just live. I love it. I love it so much. Should we peek at the questions that people have?
Yes.
So we asked for questions truly right as we began to record. And I said that maybe if you send them through within 30 minutes, she'll answer some. So we'll see if we've got. Okay. I'm just going to pick. We already talked about how we met. I'm going to pick 3. Okay. Someone said, control anxiety without eating everything you find.
Oh, like, what would I do?
Yeah, just, I think they want you to talk on, like, have you been able to find control for your anxiety without turning to food? Or, like, how did you find that control?
Dude, it's such a practice.
Yeah.
I learned this in therapy, is this technique called heart center breathing. You can literally do it anywhere. You don't have to close your eyes. It's basically you take a deep breath into the bottom of your abdomen.
Yeah.
And you feel all the energy, every cell in your body, you feel this energy, and then you just release. And when you release, you can release anxiety. You can send love to the universe. You can send it to a person. It could be whatever. And actually, it's dual in purpose because, A, it calms you down, but also it's helping to rewire your brain to seek comfort from within. So that's one technique that works. And then also sometimes, dude, nothing works.
Yeah, sometimes you have to sit in the uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah.
And allow the anxiety to rage in you.
Yeah.
And understand that it will pass.
That's the key is, like, I'm like, okay, this sucks. None of my little tricks are working, but it's going to pass. And every single time it does.
Mm-hmm. You don't need any external anything to help it pass. It will pass. And I think I get that too, because I have a lot of little mindfulness practices and I love that. The heart center breathing. So simply, it's really deep breaths with setting intentions as you release each one.
Basically, yeah.
Which you can do in public easily, which I think people, like, that's huge. Because some people are like, well, I don't want to be looking weird or whatever, bring more attention to myself if I'm already feeling anxious. So that's a huge one. But also sometimes to me, I have this little practice actually, like when I first started meditating, sometimes when I sat to meditate, I would get a surge of anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was just like this opposition, this weight, and it would kind of grow in the center of my chest and like that pressure. And I had this thing that I did where it was like visually, I would just, instead of trying to like be like, oh no, I'm starting to feel anxious and like push it down and push it away, I would just imagine myself like diving right into it.
Mm.
And allowing it to consume me, and then I was free from it. It was so, so weird, but I agree. Yeah, I think those feelings never stay. Mm-hmm. So,
I use a lot of grounding techniques. So sometimes, because I have a really bad anxiety, I'm like neurotic as fuck. But they'll tell me, notice, or my therapist has told me this, just notice, especially when you're freaking out, notice everything green in the room. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But then, yeah, also just grounding into the body, like, where am I feeling it? It's heat in my chest, it's knots in my stomach. Mm-hmm. And just like realizing the awareness is holding all of it, but that I am the awareness sometimes.
Yeah, you're the one holding, you're not it.
Exactly.
It is not you.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift too. Like, you're a human that experiences anxiety. You are not anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple, but it's a very powerful.
I will say that through these past couple months doing like the somatic and trauma healing work, my anxiety has gone down immensely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, so good. Okay. What would you say is your most rewarding milestone, by the way, love you?
That one's for me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
They're all for you, girl.
Oh. My most rewarding milestone. Sorry, I'm just like overthinking.
No, take your time. I mean, we're really looking at these for the first time right now, so.
To me, I'm like, I would say I'm probably most proud of that video that I put out, the one that's up on my YouTube channel.
Yes.
My coming out as a human being.
I love it. No, really. Coming out into awareness.
Yeah, probably that. And my painting, my first portrait, my first oil portrait.
So cool. I can't wait to see that. Okay, so this one, obviously they've asked these before they've listened to this episode, but it'll be interesting now to circle back. So do you ever get intimidated within your industry because you're at the top?
Well, it's funny because I don't perceive myself that way. Because I'll have conversations with other people and I'm like, you know, you're doing great. You made it. And then they don't see that. They return that to me. And I'm like, I don't perceive myself that way.
Was there ever, here's another, yeah, because as a creator, I understand what you're saying. Like, has there ever been, before you took a break, you know, was there ever a time where you felt like you had made it, where you realized and saw yourself as one of the top makeup creators, as the top of your industry?
No, never, never.
What?
Yeah.
Do you guys hear this? It's so wild.
Yeah, I was always you know, there's always more money you could make, more subscribers, better engagement. I was
more endorsements, more collabs.
Yeah, I never was. I always thought there could be more that I was doing.
Wow. It's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It's the honesty for me. It's true. And I get caught up in that sometimes too. And it's just, so now, like, as you look back and as you are ready to, I mean, you're just so present, but as you go forward into creating content again, but as this new version of you, like, how are you feeling and what perspective are you going to take into coming back to being a creator?
I just want to treat it as an experiment and have fun with it again, because that's how I started. It was just a hobby. I had mm-hmm. no idea that you could even make money on social media. And I want to just bring back that curiosity to it, because I think part of what happens when you become successful is then you want to recapture that success.
And there's the pressure that follows. Like, oh, well, I have this engagement or I have this platform, and so now everyone expects XYZ of me.
Yeah. I had a ton of like self-limiting beliefs based off of what I thought people thought that I was.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So now it's just like, I want to just, you know, have fun with it and see what happens. And just to create content from the heart and connect with people. Like, that's the most important thing to me.
Amen. Create content from the heart and connect with people.
Yeah.
Create and connect.
That's right.
To yourself, to your friends, to the world, and in your career.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much. Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Is there any else, like, I guess before we close, is there anything else that, and by the way, guys, I sprung this on her literally now. Like, I was flying into LA and I missed her so much. I'm like, it always goes like this. I'm like, I'm going to be there for like 48 hours. Like, what's your schedule? And if there's an hour of our schedules that happen to line up, we see each other. And if not, we can't. And so I was flying in from London last night and I text her on the plane and I'm like, girl, I need to see you. And also, you really need to come on the podcast. And she's like, I'm down. So this has not been planned. And all of that to say, like, in that wealth of time I gave you to think about this, is there any final thoughts or just right now that you're feeling? Any final, like, notes that you want to leave on or advice you want to extend or just anything that we didn't talk about that you want to share?
I guess, like, one thing that if I could go back in time and tell myself when I was
yes.
really struggling with body image and my health and just myself in general is to trust myself and that we're always exactly where we're supposed to be, whether we realize it or not. If I could go back and tell myself that, I think that would give me some comfort. And it gives me comfort now, and dealing with the unknown is knowing, like, this is all part of the path and the journey. We're always exactly where we're supposed to be.
You're always right on time.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Doug and I always say that to each other. We're always right on time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, my brother was like, you're late. You're behind. I was like, hello. No. I'm here now.
I'm here now. It's funny because we just, me and my PR manager, we have this saying that I just installed as a saying this last trip because we were always so scatterbrained and all over the place. And I'd always be asking, like, what time is it? What day is it? And now we say, what day is it today? What time is it right now? That is all that matters. Well, thank you so much. I just want to say a big amen to everything that you've shared. And I always close out these episodes by saying a little I love you to the listeners, because I don't need to know you personally to feel so much love for you. And if you're listening at this point to the end of this episode, thank you. Thank you for your support. And most importantly, thank you for taking the time to invest in yourself and your multifaceted health, because you're amazing. So, bye.